Hey everybody, welcome to another deep dive. Today we're going to be exploring Obadiah and Habakkuk.
Two prophets with very different messages, but both are really grappling with this idea of how God interacts with humanity.
Absolutely. And, you know, we're talking pride, we're talking justice, we're talking about facing challenges, things that, you know, we think about with the ancient world.
Right.
But you're going to see they're so relevant today.
Yeah, absolutely.
And all of this is coming from a lecture from a well-respected scholar. You know, buckle up for this deep dive because you might be surprised by what you hear.
It could be good.
It's really good stuff. And it really speaks to how we deal with conflict internationally and even, you know, personally in our own life.
It's fascinating how these things just transcend time.
Totally. So let's start with Obadiah.
Okay.
He's got some strong words for Edom. And Edom was known for not being the best neighbor to Judah.
Right.
And he paints this picture of them living in Selah, this city carved into cliffs, so it was practically an impenetrable fortress.
Right. I mean, just their geography alone really contributed to this sense of security that they felt.
Oh, for sure.
And you see that reflected in the poetic language that Obadiah uses. He compares the Edomites to eagles nesting among the stars, highlighting this, like, overconfidence and belief in their own invulnerability.
They're feeling pretty untouchable.
Yeah.
Which history shows us.
Yeah.
That's a dangerous mindset.
It can be.
But it's not just their pride that Obadiah calls out.
No, it's not just the pride. It's also their actions, or maybe I should say inaction, when Judah was attacked.
Oh, okay.
So not only did they stand by idly as Judah was being plundered, but they even participated in their downfall.
Oh, wow.
Obadiah doesn't mince words. He compares their behavior to someone robbing their own brother.
And heavy stuff. It makes you think about, you know, our responsibility to help those in need.
Yeah.
Whether it's a personal situation or... Or a global crisis, you know, do we stand by and watch or do we step in and offer support?
Right. Are we bystanders or are we
people
who are going to get in there and actually...
Yeah. Are we upstanders?
Help.
Yeah. It's tough questions, but Obadiah forces us to ask them.
He does. And he connects this lack of brotherliness to a broader point about nations feeling invincible.
Okay.
You know, it's this delusion that it can't happen to me.
Right.
And Obadiah uses Edom as this example to show how fleeting that feeling of invulnerability can be.
So this isn't just some ancient history lesson.
No.
You're saying that this tendency to feel untouchable, whether, you know, as individuals or as nations, is something we still struggle with today.
Absolutely. And I think if we look at our own lives, how many times have we felt invincible because of our status or our achievements or just our general sense of self?
Right.
I think it's human nature to want to feel secure and in control.
Sure.
But Obadiah reminds us that true security comes from something much deeper than that.
Wow. I'm seeing how these ancient texts can really pack a punch.
They do.
So Obadiah calls out their arrogance and their lack of compassion.
Uh-huh.
What happens next? Is there any, you know, comeuppance?
There is. Okay. Obadiah introduces this concept of measure for measure justice.
Okay.
Which is the idea that our actions have consequences. Mm-hmm. And what we sow, we reap.
Reap what you sow.
Exactly. And this isn't about revenge. It's about a natural order of things.
Right.
A cosmic balancing of the scales, if you will.
Okay.
And he uses incredibly vivid imagery.
Yeah.
To drive this point home, he describes the Edomites' violence will ultimately boomerang back on them.
Deeds boomeranging. I like that.
Yeah.
It's a powerful image.
Yeah. It makes you really think about the choices that you make.
Yeah.
But I think it's important to remember that Obadiah isn't simply chronicling one nation's rise and fall.
Okay.
He's pointing to a universal truth about pride and the dangers of believing we're above the consequences of our actions.
Mm-hmm.
This is a warning that resonates throughout history and speaks directly to us today.
All right. So Obadiah lays down some serious truth about pride and accountability.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's shift gears to Habakkuk.
Okay.
This guy's known for tackling some really tough theological questions.
He does. He really does. He's often called the embracer because he doesn't shy away from these difficult questions about God's justice in a world that often feels chaotic and unfair.
Yep.
In fact, he engages in a direct dialogue with God.
Hold on.
Wrestling with this problem of evil existing alongside a just and loving God.
So he's like arguing with God.
Well, you know, it's important to understand that Habakkuk's questioning comes from a place of deep faith and a desire to understand God's ways.
Okay.
Not from disrespect.
Okay.
But he is grappling with that tension I think a lot of us can relate to.
Yeah.
You know, if God is good and all powerful, then why do bad things happen?
Yeah. I mean, that's a question for the ages, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So that makes more sense. So how does this wrestling match with God play out?
Yeah.
What kind of questions is Habakkuk asking?
He's asking the tough questions, you know, the ones that we often shy away from. Why do you tolerate injustice?
Yeah.
Why do the wicked prosper while the righteous suffer?
Yeah.
He is pouring out his heart to God,
yeah.
expressing his confusion and frustration.
It sounds like almost like therapy.
Right.
Like he's using this dialogue with God to process his pain and make sense of the world around him.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
Okay.
And what's really fascinating is God doesn't shut him down for questioning.
Oh, wow.
He actually engages with him.
Really?
Offering guidance and perspective.
So it's not about getting all the answers tied up in a neat bow.
Right.
It's about the process of wrestling.
It is.
Of digging deeper.
Yeah.
Of seeking understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Even when things are tough.
Exactly. And, you know, this approach to faith really resonates with this Jewish tradition called Midrash.
Okay.
Where interpreting scripture involves dialogue and debate.
Okay.
You know, exploring multiple layers of meaning.
Yeah.
And instead of searching for these simple one-size-fits-all answers,
mm-hmm.
it's about actively engaging with the text, bringing our own questions and experiences to the table.
Okay.
And recognizing that the search for understanding is an ongoing journey.
So Habakkuk is struggling with God on a personal level.
Right.
But his message also expands to this broader question about God's choice of Israel as his chosen people.
Right.
And, you know, I think a lot of people have this question. Why would God choose this seemingly insignificant nation?
Yeah.
I mean, there are more powerful empires out there.
Right. And you have to remember the historical context here.
Yeah.
Compared to these powerful empires of Mesopotamia and Egypt,
yeah.
Israel was relatively small and lacked the same level of military might or cultural influence.
Right.
So, yeah, at first glance, it might seem like a puzzling choice.
So what's the answer? Why Israel?
Well, Habakkuk and the broader biblical narrative emphasizes that God often works through the unexpected.
Okay.
He chooses the weak to confound the strong, the humble to challenge the proud.
Mm-hmm.
It's about subverting human expectations and demonstrating that true power doesn't always reside where we think it does.
You know, that makes me think about Moses, a shepherd with no royal lineage.
Right.
Chosen to lead his people out of slavery. And receive this revelation that would change the course of history.
And change the world.
It's a pretty powerful message about how God can work through anyone, regardless of background.
Absolutely. And it connects directly to this idea of calling.
Okay.
You know, Habakkuk highlights that God equips those he calls, enabling them to fulfill their purpose.
Wow.
It's not about our own strength or abilities.
Yeah.
It's about trusting in God's guidance and provision.
So for those of us feeling lost
yeah.
or unsure of our own path,
mm-hmm.
Habakkuk offers a pretty powerful reminder that we're not in this alone. God equips us for the journey.
He does. And perhaps even more importantly, he encourages us to ask the tough questions,
yeah.
to wrestle with our doubts, and to seek a deeper understanding of his ways.
Okay.
It's in that struggle, in that honest dialogue, that we often find true growth and clarity.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground here, from Edom's downfall
we have.
To Habakkuk's wrestling match with God.
Yeah.
I have a feeling these prophets have even more to teach us about facing challenges and finding meaning in a complex world.
Oh, absolutely.
But you know what?
What?
Let's take a pause here.
Okay.
When we come back, we'll explore how Obadiah and Habakkuk's messages connect to our modern world.
Sounds good.
Welcome back. We've been unpacking the messages of Obadiah and Habakkuk, and I'm already seeing how their insights into pride, justice, and facing challenges still resonate today.
That's the beauty of these ancient texts. You know, they offer this timeless wisdom that speaks to the core of the human experience.
Right, it's like they were written with us in mind, even though they're dealing with events from centuries ago.
Exactly. And one of the most striking parallels we see is this idea of nations feeling invulnerable, something Obadiah addressed head on in his condemnation of Edom's arrogance. And you see this pattern repeating throughout history.
It's like that old saying, pride comes before the fall, right? But instead of just throwing out cliches, can you give us a concrete example of what this looked like in history?
Well, think about the Roman Empire, for instance. They were convinced of their own permanence, you know, calling themselves the Eternal City. Yet they, too, eventually crumbled. Obadiah's warning about the fleeting nature of power echoes through these historical events, reminding us that no nation, however mighty, is immune to the consequences of its actions.
Oh, that's a sobering thought. And, you know, this delusion of invulnerability isn't just something we see on the world stage. It can creep into our individual lives, too.
Absolutely. We might feel invincible because of our status, our accomplishments, or even just our sense of self. You know, we think, it can't happen to me. But Obadiah's message applies to us as individuals just as much as it does to nations.
So how do we guard against this? How do we stay grounded and avoid falling into that trap of arrogance?
Well, I think it's about cultivating humility and recognizing that we are not the masters of our own destiny. You know, remember Obadiah's concept of measure for measure justice? Our actions have consequences, whether we like it or not. Think of it like a boomerang. What we send out into the world eventually comes back to us.
Okay, I've seen that deeds boomeranging idea in a whole new light. Now it's not just about some cosmic punishment. It's about understanding that our choices have a ripple effect impacting both ourselves and those around us.
Precisely. And that brings us to another crucial point that Obadiah raises our responsibility to those in need. Remember how he condemned Edom for standing by while Judah was being plundered.
Uh-huh.
He challenges us to examine our own response when we see injustice happening around us.
It's easy to turn a blind eye to convince ourselves it's not our problem or that we can't make a difference, but Obadiah says indifference isn't an option.
He does. He calls us to act and to show compassion and stand up for those who are being marginalized or oppressed. He reminds us that we are all interconnected and that the suffering of one affects us all.
We see examples of this throughout history, sadly even in recent times, but how do we break free from this cycle of indifference and truly embody that idea of brotherliness that Obadiah speaks of? It seems like such a daunting task.
Well, I think it starts with awareness. You know, pay attention to what's happening around you, both locally and globally, and then take action. It doesn't have to be something huge. It could be speaking out against injustice, volunteering your time, donating to a cause you believe in, or simply showing kindness to someone who is struggling. Every little bit helps.
It's about recognizing that we're not just isolated individuals, we're part of a larger community, and our choices impact that community.
Exactly. And Obadiah goes even further, suggesting that the downfall of a nation is often linked to the moral choices of its people, and this raises an important question for each of us. Are we contributing to a culture of justice and compassion, or are we perpetuating systems that benefit some at the expense of others?
Wow, that's pretty heavy stuff to think about, but it's something we need to grapple with both individually and as a society. Okay, so we've talked about Obadiah's message of accountability and responsibility. What about Habakkuk? How does his wrestling match with God connect to our modern experience?
Well, Habakkuk's struggle with the problem of evil, what theologians call theodicy, is something that I think a lot of people wrestle with today. It's that age-old question. If God is good and all-powerful, why is there so much suffering in the world?
It can feel so unfair, and it's easy to get angry or even lose faith when you see innocent people suffering while the wicked seem to prosper.
Exactly. And what's so refreshing about Habakkuk is that he doesn't shy away from this tension. You know, he brings his raw, honest questions to God. He models for us the importance of voicing our doubts and uncertainties even when they feel uncomfortable or taboo.
It's like he's giving us permission to be real with God, to express our frustrations, and not pretend that everything's okay when it's not.
Yes, and what's even more remarkable is that God doesn't rebuke Habakkuk for questioning him. Instead, he engages with him offering guidance and a different perspective.
So it's not about silencing our doubts or trying to force ourselves to believe something that doesn't feel true. It's about engaging in an authentic dialogue with God, even when it's messy or painful.
It's about wrestling with the hard questions, acknowledging the complexities of faith, and trusting that God is big enough to handle our doubts and uncertainties.
That's such a powerful message for those of us who might be struggling with our own faith journeys. You know, we talked earlier about how God often chooses the unexpected, the seemingly weak, to confound. The strong Habakkuk touches on this when he grapples with the idea of Israel being God's chosen people. It's a choice that might seem puzzling, right? I mean, if God wanted to make a statement, wouldn't it have made more sense to choose a mighty empire like Egypt or Babylon?
You're right. From a human perspective, it doesn't seem to make much sense. But that's where the idea of subverting human expectations comes. And God often works in ways that defy our logic and challenge our assumptions about power and success.
So it's not about human strength or achievement, but about God's power working through those who might be considered insignificant or overlooked.
Precisely. Choosing a mighty empire would have been the obvious choice, but God deliberately chose a small, seemingly powerless nation to demonstrate that his power isn't limited by human standards.
It's like he's saying, I don't need your armies or your wealth to accomplish my purposes. I can work through anyone, regardless of their status or background.
Exactly. And this has profound implications for us today.
Okay, I'm hooked. Tell me more about how this connects to our lives.
Well, it challenges us to reconsider where we place our trust. Do we rely on our own strength, our own achievements, or do we recognize that true power comes from aligning ourselves with God's purposes?
So it's not about striving to be the biggest or the best, but about surrendering our ego and allowing God to work through us even in our weakness.
Yes, and this brings us back to the concept of calling that we discussed earlier. Habakkuk reminds us that God equips those he calls. He provides the strength, guidance, and resources we need to fulfill our purpose.
So if you're feeling called to do something, but you're doubting your abilities, remember Habakkuk's message, trust in God's provision. He will empower you to do what he's calling you to do.
Absolutely. It's not about feeling perfectly qualified or having all the answers. It's about taking that step of faith and trusting that God will be with you every step of the way.
I love that. So we've covered a lot of ground here, but we've only just scratched the surface of what these prophets have to offer.
We have their messages contain layers of meaning that continue to unfold the more we engage with them.
Well, before we get too far ahead of ourselves, let's take another pause. When we come back, we'll explore the final piece of our exploration and uncover some really interesting connections between these ancient texts and the issues we face in the 21st century. Welcome back. This deep dive into Obadiah and Habakkuk, I got to say.
Yeah.
Real eye-opener.
It is, isn't it?
I'm really starting to see how these ancient prophets, you know, they have something to say to us.
They do.
In our modern world.
You know, their messages are kind of like those multifaceted gems that reveal these new depths and colors.
Oh, wow.
The more you turn them in the light.
That's a great analogy. So let's talk about some of those connections. So was there some specific examples of how these texts speak to issues that we're facing in the 21st century?
Well, I think one of the biggest things that comes to mind is how polarized our society has become.
Yeah.
You know, there's just so much division and animosity
right.
between different groups. And I think both Obadiah and Habakkuk offer some really interesting insights into this dynamic, particularly when it comes to dealing with our enemies.
Yeah, we see this all the time, right? Whether it's political debates, social media arguments, even personal conflicts. It's so easy to fall into that trap of demonizing people that we disagree with.
It is. And remember how Obadiah condemned Edom for gloating over Judah's misfortune?
Yeah.
Now, he wasn't condoning Judah's actions.
Right.
But he was highlighting the danger of allowing resentment and bitterness to take root, even when we feel justified in our anger.
It's like holding on to anger is like drinking poison.
Yeah.
And expecting the other person to die.
Right. It only hurts us in the end.
Yeah, but how does that apply to, like, let's say, a political debate?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're supposed to stand up for what we believe in, right?
Absolutely. It's not about suppressing our convictions.
Okay.
But Obadiah challenges us to consider how we engage in those disagreements.
Mm-hmm.
Are we approaching the debate with a genuine desire to understand the other side, or are we simply trying to score points and put our opponents down?
So it's about separating the ideas from the person.
Yeah.
You can disagree with somebody's viewpoint
mm-hmm.
without, you know, attacking their character or assuming the worst about them.
That's such a key distinction. And it's something that I think we forget so often in the heat of the moment.
Especially in today's social media.
Especially in today's social media culture.
Where it's so easy to just, you know, dehumanize people we disagree with.
Yeah, we forget that they're complex human beings with their own stories and experiences.
So how do we break free from this cycle of animosity? How can we, as Obadiah suggests, resist that urge to gloat or to celebrate when our enemies stumble?
I think it starts with cultivating empathy, even for those we might consider our opponents.
Okay.
You know, try to understand their perspective, their motivations, and their pain.
It's recognizing our shared humanity.
It is.
Right? We're all connected, and we all want the same basic things: to be loved, to feel safe, to live meaningful lives.
Exactly. And, you know, this leads to another theme that emerges from both Obadiah and Habakkuk, and that is the importance of seeking justice and pursuing peace.
Yeah, they were both deeply concerned with social justice issues.
They were.
And they challenged those in power who were exploiting the vulnerable.
They didn't just sit back and preach. They actively called for a society that upheld righteousness and compassion.
So it's about more than just fixing problems after they've happened. It's about addressing the root causes of injustice.
Absolutely.
Things like poverty, inequality, and discrimination.
Right. And this pursuit of justice is intimately connected to the pursuit of peace.
Yeah, okay.
As you said, it's not just about the absence of conflict. It's about addressing the underlying conditions that lead to conflict in the first place.
And that requires, you know, a willingness to engage in difficult conversations, to listen to different perspectives, and to work together to find solutions that benefit everyone.
Yeah, it's about building bridges instead of walls,
mm-hmm.
recognizing that our destinies are intertwined. We can't truly thrive unless everyone has the opportunity to thrive.
That's powerful. It all circles back to that central question that Habakkuk wrestled with.
Right.
How do we reconcile the existence of evil and suffering with this belief in a just and loving God? And it's a question that has haunted humanity for centuries. And I don't think there's any easy answers.
There aren't. But what's important is that we don't shy away from the question.
Right.
You know, Habakkuk models for us that courage to engage with God honestly, even when we're wrestling with doubt and pain.
And through that struggle, through that honest dialogue, we might find a deeper and more nuanced understanding of God's character and his purposes in the world.
It's not about finding simplistic answers or clinging to comfortable beliefs.
Right.
It's about embracing the mystery and complexity of faith.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into Obadiah and Habakkuk, what is one final thought you would like to leave our listeners with?
I think it's this. These prophets challenge us to live lives of integrity, compassion, and resilience. They remind us that our choices matter, both on a personal and societal level, and we have a responsibility to create a world that reflects God's justice and love.
They encourage us to keep asking the tough questions, to wrestle with our doubts, and to never stop seeking a deeper understanding of God's ways.
And as you navigate the complexities of your own life and the world around you, I would ask, what honest questions do you need to wrestle with?
That's a great question for all of us to ponder. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into Obadiah and Habakkuk. We'll see you next time for another fascinating exploration.